Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. Errahmanirrahim. Maliki yaumiddin. Iyyaka na'budu wa iyyaka nasta'in. Ihdinas siratal mustaqim. Siratal ladina an'amta 'alaihim. Khair maqdubi alayhim wa ala dalin. Amin. So this is our 11th inner life session together. Well, welcome. And I'd like to start with, again, just a little bit of breathing into our heart. Into our heart space and in our heart space. I'm just taking a moment to let go of what was before, any busyness or thoughts, feelings. And bringing ourselves present into this moment as best as we can. And feeling the heart space widening and opening up like a endless vast plain. And we can, there are these little kind of doorways deeper into the depths of our being, and we can maybe find, stumble upon a door or two. Just tuning into this space. We can entone Allah into this space, opening the heart, and then just maybe something else opens up as well. So let's do that for just a few moments. One more time. And then just feeling that hard space, that vast plain opening up further in all directions around us. It's like the word that we were just using, Allah, is echoing and freely moving over that space. And then letting go of the visualization and any kind of images that we might have. Amen. So we are coming back to our readings. We were the chapter that we have been reading from is the fulfillment of the obligations of human life. And we are kind of just diving further into that wisdom of Hasrat Khan and Murshid Sam. And last time we finished talking about the mature people or the Sufis who have realized their inner life, and that they are not ever saying that I'm more advanced than you and kind of walking ahead, you could say that the more advanced they are, the more, in a way, simple they become. So we carry on with that thought. Gataka. The one who has gone so far forward can never go backward. But by joining others, one takes them along with them, onward. If one went on alone, one would consider that he or she avoided their duty towards their fellow humans, which they should perform. So it's kind of like looking at this. Two ways of going forward alone, or going forward and bringing others with you, which Murshid Sam goes into with his tasawwuf, with his commentary. He's saying, this is also the difference between the two aspects of Buddhism called Theravada and Mahayana. In Theravada, it is thought that the humanity benefits by helping the aspirant, who is a monk, on toward the completion of his evolution. And in Mahayana, the emphasis is the opposite, that the devotee believes the fulfillment of their mission is in helping others onward instead of them helping him or her. But both accept the Lord Buddha's work out thy salvation with diligence, although they give a very different interpretation to it. Does that make sense?
Yeah, could you explain it again? I didn't get the two strands of Buddhism.
Yeah, the Theravada Buddhism is that well, there's different ways of interpreting it, but the way that Meshit Sam here describes as well is that it is when one considers that the shortest path to enlightenment is when they are solely focused for their own kind of their own practice, their own path, and that the community around is there to support them in that process. And Mahayana Buddhism is saying that one cannot, the principle of it is that one cannot be totally enlightened when one goes on the path just by themselves. That ultimately we cannot be totally free unless we take every single being with us. Yeah? Okay. Then there is another point in the discussion of backward trends. When we accept that God alone exists, that the path to God is also a path of God and with God, that God is the only being, we shall not be led astray by foolish notions of the half-learned. So our path towards God is God walking towards God, you could say. It's walking with God, and it's God's path. Yeah. It's all the same. That's when it becomes so exciting, I think, the path that we are on. Gateka. It is the empty pitcher that makes the noise when you knock upon it. But the pitcher which is full of water does not make any sound. It is silent, speechless. Tasavvuf. There may be no way to measure feeling. There is something that radiates outward. It is in the atmosphere. Nothing can be substituted for atmosphere and its companions, the radiant light of the eyes and the smiling forehead. Hasratinath Khan talks quite a lot about the smiling forehead. He says that when we really are, walking the path and kind of advancing on the path, then it is as if our forehead is smiling, literally. That, it is not the smile of our mouth necessarily, but it is that, that's what this that's what this thing is that radiates out from us, the atmosphere. So, Gataka. So the wise live among all the people of this world, and they are not unhappy. That was what I quoted this morning because I just liked it. The one who loves all is not unhappy. Unhappy is one who looks with contempt at the world, who hates human beings and thinks they are that they are superior to others. The one who loves them, who loves other humans, thinks only that they are going through the same process that I have gone through. We are all in the same process in different places. And, His Holiness the Dalai Lama, he used to say, well, he says that, I think when it was in one of the interviews, he was asked by this whatever scientist, he was asked a question about his enlightenment, like, oh, how it was like commented like how advanced he is. And then His Holiness the Dalai Lama was saying that, hey, I have been walking this path for some time, and I perhaps have a little bit more experience in these matters, but there are these other things that you are much more experienced because you have walked that path much, much longer. So it's that acceptance that we all have our gifts to give, and we all have these experiences that are valuable and that are special, and path that we have walked is unique to us, and it is our gift, the path that we have walked. Tasawuf. Jesus has said, I am the vine and you are the branches thereof. Sufism teaches that teacher and pupil are one. And again, it is the murids who make the teacher. Like Murshid Sam is saying that the murid is the negative pole of the battery and the teacher is the positive pole of battery. And without one, there is not the other. It's the current between them, which in our case, that's the ishq, that's the love, that's the connection between us. That is the current that makes things flow and makes the spirit of guidance to come through us. Gataka. It is from the darkness that the wise one has to come into the light. It is just a difference of moments, and one with great patience passes these moments while their fellow humans are still in darkness. Not making them know they are in darkness, not letting them feel hurt about it, or not looking upon them with contempt, only thinking that for every soul there is childhood, there is youth and maturity. So it is natural for every human being to go through this process. Tasawuf. It is only a first step for a teacher to feel, I am the vine and you are the branches thereof. Many have written about Sufism without having mingled with Sufis. They write about them as exotic and strange people. They cannot know what the insight, the foresight of the wise is. And when the phrase, beloved ones of God, is used, it sounds like an honorific, whereas to the Sufi, it is a reality. For God loves all God's creatures. Brotherhood or sisterhood will not come while some emphasize their elder brotherhood position or while there is separation of any kind. People who talk brotherhood but manifest separation are obviously not so advanced on the path. On the path, hearts beat together. On the path, the whole humanity is as if a single personage. And the wise follow what is also found in the Christian scriptures, but bypassed, that the whole humanity is as if a single body, all of us being cells and organs, tubes and veins of that single body. So I'd like to do a practice now on this. So it is a practice of using two vazifas, two qualities. We're calling upon Ya Ahad, which is the one, And it is the one without the other. It is kind of like, it is difficult for us to, I think, comprehend, because when we think of one, then we think, oh, there, you know, even when we think that everything is included in the one, it's kind of like we add up, you know, this thing and that thing and that thing and that thing, and then when every single thing is added up, then that's Ahad. But it's not like that. It's this uniqueness of every single thing which is the same, which is Ahad. So it's like you cannot have this the like everything added up all together being Ahad. And then if you somehow had another everything somewhere else, that there would be then two ahads, you know. So it's just really feeling that there is no separation, there is nothing else, you know. We can differentiate between different things, but in essence, everything is one. So, anyway, so we can have a go with that one. When we say Ahad, then we can concentrate on our soul. In our belly, about, you know, on the belly center, the Hara center, and we can kind of visualize the Ahad kind of in there, like the dot where everything concentrates. Okay, and then we are gonna use also the word Yasamad. Yasamad, and that is the kind of forever sort of widening our perception and understanding. It's the continuing of the eternity. So it's the eternity that kind of goes out and out and out, and it never ends. So in some ways they are kind of like opposites, but on the other hand, they point to the same thing again. So if Ahad is sort of like the singular, no, how do I say that? It's Ahad is like the state we are in, then Yasamad is the process to get there in a way. So we're constantly kind of going further and further on expanding, but at the same time, the center of this expansion can be anywhere. Anyway, let's go and have a try and play with that. So Ahad we bring into our Hara center as a dot, visualizing it as a dot, and Yasamad we bring into our heart, and it's kind of like the circle that ever expands and ever getting bigger and reaching to the eternity. So one is the movement outward, you could say, and the other one is the movement inward. Ahad. Yasamad. Ahad. Yasamad. Ahad. Yasamad. Ahad. Yasamad. Ahad. Yeah, samad. Yeah, 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 ahad. Yeah, samad. And for a few moments, just breathing with those two. Breathing in, ahad. Breathing out, samad. I mean. the last sentence I was reading was Tasawwuf, Murshid Sam, and he said, "The wise follow what is also found in the Christian scriptures, but bypassed, that the whole humanity is as if a single body, all of us being cells and organs, tubes and veins of that single body." Gateka. So now we are gonna go, now we are gonna hear a little bit of both Hazrat Khan's and also Murshid Sam's personal accounts in a minute. So, Gateka. "I have seen with my own eyes souls who have attained saintliness and who have reached to great perfection. And yet, such a soul would stand before the idol of stone with another, with a fellow human, and worship, not letting them know that one was in any way more advanced than the other, keeping one in a humble guise, not making any pretense that they had gone further in their spiritual evolution." So, and now comes a little thing from Murshid Sam, Tasawwuf. He's calling himself, he's talking about himself on a third person, in a third person. "The commentator used to worship with all sorts of people in all sorts of ways. Once he was in the city of Bombay, and the story came out that he was some sort of holy man. A simple working man came to him, signaled, and took him off to an unknown shrine to which he had the key. He opened the place, and there was a beautiful idol there, and the Indian asked the commentator to perform a puja. The commentator had never seen such an idol and did not know how to perform the puja. And yet, he did know. And he did it, and did it exactly right. This made the Indian present very happy. He performed the same puja and then embraced his American visitor. There are many Sufis who have gone to Indian temples, and sometimes many non-Sufis of different faiths also go to the Sufi shrines of saints and to sanctuaries. Then one throws off all pretense and joins the generality in whatever form of worship they perform." Now, Gateka. "The further souls go, the more humble they become. The greater the mystery they have realized, the less they speak about it. The further souls go, the more humble they become. The greater the mystery they have realized, the less they speak about it." There's a story which comes from Hazrat Khan. He is telling about telling a story of this village that had a wall, and nobody knew what was behind the wall. And sometimes, occasionally, somebody would climb on the wall, you know, to check what was on the other side. But whoever went onto the wall jumped down on the other side and was never to be seen again. So people in the village got really curious, and they really wanted to know what is it, you know, and why, you know, they never see those people again who went over the wall. So finally, when the next person was getting very curious and wanted to climb the wall, they chained his feet and you know, held the chains. So the person climbed the wall and looked on the other side and had this big smile on their face. So And when they were just about to jump onto the other side, then the villagers pulled him back, only to discover that the person had lost their speech. So, the same thing. The greater the mystery they have realized, the less they speak about it. Tasawuf. It is not necessary to speak. Some people are offended when they speak. They are not always understood. Besides, the maintenance of secrets, especially such secrets, help to store up the spiritual magnetism. And it is this rather than merit which helps the soul in the inner life. Kataka. So now it's Hasratinath Khan's little snippet. You would scarcely believe it if I were to tell you that during 4 years of the presence of my Murshid, hardly more than once or twice I had a conversation on spiritual matters. Usually the conversation was on worldly things, like everybody else's. Nobody would perceive that here was a God-realized man who was always absorbed in God. His conversation was like the conversation of every other person. He spoke on everything belonging to his this world, never a spiritual conversation, nor any special show of piety or spirituality. And yet, his atmosphere, voice of his soul, and his presence revealed all that was hidden in his heart. Tasawuf. No doubt one can write about many masters one has visited, and there are all sorts of them. For instance, one sheikh of the Rifai was a great football enthusiast, and the Chisti Murshid was an expert on fly casting and an excellent athlete. And there were others who delighted in card playing. They would play games but would not discuss news or politics or anything small. They could play with children and they would play with adults and never make any differences. Gataka. Those who are God realized and those who have touched wisdom speak very little on the subject. It is they who do not know, It is they who do not know who try to discuss it. Sorry, I don't get it. It is they who do not know who try to discuss it. Okay. Not because they know, but because they themselves have doubts. Tasawuf. In the Western world, the greatest obstacles have not come from the ignorant, nor from those who are opposed to mysticism or strange to them religions, but from the person who thinks they are either God realized or near it, and so more evolved than others. It is they who expect more from other people and less from themselves, and are quick to excuse themselves for their incapacities to adhere to standards and norms. So, okay, well, let's do just one last little passage of reading, and then we finish with the reading. Kataka, when there is knowledge, there is satisfaction. There is no tendency towards dispute. When one disputes, it is because something is not satisfied. Dasavuf. The wise regard their opponents in debate as also God's children. Once, when Swami Ramdas came to San Francisco, many wanted to dispute with him on the platform, and some assumed they were on his side, but when he was away, they did not accept him. only when he was there. But there was one man who said he would be glad to dispute with the Swami, and he prepared all kinds of questions and dualistic arguments. It was only 5 minutes when the Swami not only answered all questions, but considered the disputant as one who favored him by asking challenging questions, and also tried to please his inward being with the answers. True, the disputant did not gain, but the whole audience was attracted by the Swami, who had the God realization and saw God in everything and everybody. Okay. I think maybe that's enough of reading today. I would like to do another little practice before we finish. I would like to say the Surah Al-Ikhlas together. And maybe what we can do is I can add it to the chat. Let me see. Can I do that somehow? Okay, I have it in the wrong format here. If you give me one moment, I'll try to add it. No, it's in PDF. Okay, I think I can. Get it from here. Come on. There. Okay, I'm gonna put it into the chat here. So it is there with with a translation as well. So it is the one surah that basically says God is one and everything is one and there is nothing else apart from one. So we are using the Ahad. You know, like Yahad that we just said before, and then a few other words. So maybe we can just say it a few times together, maybe like 5 times together, and then if you like, you can you know, take it into your practice. It's a beautiful surah just to dive into and work with. So, Bismillah Rahman Rahim. Kul huwa Allahu Ahad. Allahu Samad. Lam yalid wa lam yulad wa lam yakulahu kufuwan Ahad. Bismillah Rahman Rahim. Can you find it, Robin? No, I can't hear you. Yeah, it's there. Good, good. Okay. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Kul huwa Allahu ahad. Allahu samad. Lam yalid wa lam yulad wa lam yakulahu kufuwan ahad. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Kul huwa Allahu ahad. Allahu Samad. Lam yalid wa lam yulad wa lam yakul lahu kufuwan ahad. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Kul huwa Allahu ahad. Allahu Samad. Lam yalid wa lam yulad wa lam yakul lahu kufuwan ahad. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Kul huwa Allahu ahad. Allahu Samad. Lam yalid wa lam yulad wa lam yakul lahu kufuwan ahad. And maybe one more time. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Kul huwa Allahu ahad. Allahu Samad. Lam yalid wa lam yulad wa lam yakul lahu kufuwan ahad. Ameen. So, in the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful, as it is translated here, say, He is Allah, the One. He is Allah, the Eternal, who was never born nor ever gave birth, the One beyond compare. So, here, Ahad is translated as the One, and Samad is translated as the Eternal. So the One and the Eternal. Ya Ahad, Ya Samad. Let's just finish with a few Allahs together, just to seal this time together and connect again with our heart space, and also with all our sisters and brothers and our friends and family and our teachers, those who have inspired and supported us on the path. And just bring them into this atmosphere of Allah that we are creating here together. Allah, 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 offer our gratitude to all the teachers, all beings of light. And our gratitude to each other. Thank you for being here. Amen, amen, amen.